trying to ignore that.
And save money.
Called to order this hearing of the House Rules Committee. It's Monday, June 13th, 2011. We've got just two bills before us. We don't have any new committee measures introduced?
No measures. Let's schedule for next week.
Wait a second.
Representative Freeman, do you have one that's still coming? Trying to get this out of the wire?
No,
is that
I
what
don't
you're
need
saying?
Anything.
Okay. I'm doing fine. Revenue.
I have one.
Mr. Chair, there are always ideas out there if you want new measures.
There are. Yes, there are. Well, we're not going to be done this week, so we still got time. So we have a possible reconsideration of House Bill 3657, merely for the purpose of sending it to Ways and Means. You may have heard that there are some challenges on the Senate side with bills going to committees that are closed. And Senator Bonamici is here to defend that practice today. Do I open up a work session?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I'll open a work session for possible reconsideration of House Bill 3657.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3657.
Coach Olson moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3657. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, what did our vote do?
It sent it to the floor. This would be the purpose of sending it to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Different path.
Got it.
Representative Holby.
And just so I'm clear, the vote that we took, the fees in the bill were actually reduced, and we're sending it to Ways and Means because...
Because there might be a challenge with it not going to an open committee in the Senate.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it does have a fiscal significant impact. It is a negative fiscal impact, revenue impact, but that would impact the agency's budget.
Okay, nice cover, Mr. Severage.
I'm good with it.
It's positive to the commercial fishermen that won't be paying it. Because they look at the negative all the time.
Yep. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Motion carries and the rules are suspended. Butcher Olson.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move reconsideration of the motion by which House Bill 3657 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Coach Olson moves reconsideration of the motion by which House Bill 3657 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, if I might butt in at this point just to say that we're back to where we've adopted the Dash 1 amendment. That this is the bill that reduces non-resident commercial fishing fees to no more than $50 more than resident fees. And you're ready to move now if you wish.
So I think I'm supposed to say, in compliance with Mason's Manual Legislative Procedure, Section 468, Subsection 2, the vote is canceled as though it had never been taken. So that does mean there's still the opportunity to put safer salmon in the bill, right? Okay. Coach Olson, reconsideration? Safer salmon? Coach Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3657 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and let the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Coach Olson has moved that House Bill 3657 is amended be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, just to be clear that it as amended with the Dash 1 amendments.
Yeah, it came back to the status where we had it, so the Dash 1 amendments had already been incorporated.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Affirmative.
Okay, Amy, please call the roll.
Representative
Holby. Aye. Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Olson?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Hutt? Aye. Motion carries. It's on its way to Ways and Means. Lives for another day.
Same thing for me on Monday.
Even though many salmon on the Columbia River will die another day. Close the work session on House Bill 3657, and we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 801. Invite forward Senator Bonamici and Dana Hepler and Victoria. Please brief us on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 801 directs the State Board of Education to adopt guidelines for best practices of administering statewide assessments of students, provides that a student who has met or exceeded state standards is excused from retaking the test, has a minimal fiscal, no revenue impact, passed the Senate on a vote of 26-3.
Welcome, Senator Bonamici.
Thank you so much, Co-Chair Hunt, Co-Chair Olson, committee members. I'm Suzanne Bonamici, Senator for District 17. Thank you so much for scheduling Senate Bill 801 today. We like to bring you short, important bills. This is two sentences, unamended, and that's not to trivialize it. It's an important bill, and it deals with assessment and testing in our schools, which is something that I've been interested in for years, not just as a legislator, but as a parent. I want to thank Stanford Children and the Department of Education for working on this legislation. And the intent of the bill is simply put to reduce unnecessary standardized testing so that our students can spend more time learning in ways that inspire creativity, innovation, improving critical thinking. Assessing student knowledge has always been an important part of teaching, but standardized tests have been made more frequent and certainly more familiar by No Child Left Behind. And they're really a relatively new aspect of public education. And unfortunately, in some schools and districts, we found that the curriculum has narrowed because there's been an increasing focus on test scores rather than a holistic look at the skills and talents that are really necessary for our students to develop. In committee on the Senate side, we heard from a teacher, and I believe that her testimony was submitted to you in writing today, and she was really concerned about the amount of instructional time that was lost because of what she referred to as extreme testing. She's a middle school teacher, and in her school, students lose between 15 and 20 days of language arts instruction because of testing. They're tested, and then they're retested, and then they're tested again. At the time she came to testify in the Senate side, they were on their third round of testing this year. And each time, students lose days of instruction. So what Senate Bill 801 does is that it directs the State Board of Education to adopt guidelines for best practices for administering statewide assessments. And it provides that as part of that, the guidelines must include a provision that students in grades K through 8 who have met or exceeded the state standards are excused from retaking the test. We heard that students were brought down to a computer lab, and even if they had met or exceeded the same test, had to retake it, either because there wasn't anybody for them to be within the classroom or just because, why not, retest them. And I know that we all share the goals of ensuring that our students learn at high levels. This is a step that we can take to help teachers return to the kind of instruction that really inspires students to fill their minds with critical thinking. And I do encourage you to read. It's Dina Helms who submitted the testimony, and it was really compelling. She teaches at a high-poverty middle school in East Multnomah County in 7th grade, and she really did bring home the point that they were testing, and retesting, and it also was using up additional time in their computer lab. For example, they have two computer labs in the school. One of them is used all the time for testing, and that doesn't need to be. And again, we do need good assessments, but we don't need students testing and retesting and testing again. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to answering your questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Dana, welcome.
Thanks. My name is Dana Hepper. I'm the Advocacy Director with Stanford Children, and we really appreciate Senator Bonamici's work with us in leadership on this piece of legislation because while we understand there are lots of questions and lots of opinions about the role of standardized education in the public school system that this legislation does not address, we think it addresses a couple really important ones, and they are, you know, asking the State Board of Ed to adopt best practice guidelines for use of the statewide standardized assessment. Now, the Department of Ed employs a handful of people who are experts in creating, they work with teachers to create the statewide standardized assessment in Oregon, and they understand what it's created for, and then they send it out to districts without sharing, here's why we created this assessment, here's what it's designed to be used for, and we think it's time that they provide that information and guidance to school districts. Without guidance, Some districts have developed incredibly thoughtful approaches to the use of this tool, and others have not, and maybe using the OAKS test to do things that it simply wasn't designed to do. And so we think this guidance will move everyone in the right direction. The second thing it does is it says if you have passed the statewide standardized test, you can't be required by your school district to retake the test. And we think this is one of the best practices that rises to the level of importance of being called out in the state law. We have been hearing quite a bit anecdotally from parents and students who, parents with children who have met or exceeded and been retested often once, but often more than once. There are a couple of reasons why this happens. Districts may be trying to increase the number of students who receive an exceeds score because that does factor into their rating on the school report cards published by the department, and the department has agreed to work with us in the interim to make sure that nothing in the report card is unnecessarily encouraging unneeded retesting. And I think the other thing is some schools or districts may not have developed a plan for what to do with proficient students while other students are retesting. And we think this law would encourage them to figure out what to do, and we think they can. The one other thing I wanted to note from Dina's testimony on the Senate side was they have 337th graders at the middle school where she teaches, and with the retesting, only about 10%, so only about 30 of those students actually move categories with retesting. So they move from did not meet to meet or from meet to exceeds. Most of the students when they're retested just simply move around within the category that they received the first go-around. And so, therefore, even more, we think there should be a higher bar for retesting students, that there should be some evidence before you retest that the student is ready to move categories and the retest is going to make a significant difference in their score. And we think that adopting the state guidelines, and ODE already has a draft of those, they've been great to work with, will move districts in that direction. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions for our witnesses? Representative Holby.
Sorry, and if you address this, I apologize. I'm sure there must be some really basic reason that I'm not aware of that why. Well, what about grades 19, 11, and 12? This bill only addresses grades 1 through 8. And so do we not have statewide assessments on those other grades, or is there some reason this bill doesn't address those?
Well, co-chairs and Representative Holvey and committee members, I'll take a first stab at it, and then I'll let the educator correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that students in high school are it matters more for them in terms of SAT and college admissions, so there's more of an interest in allowing them to retake or letting them retake, and really the focus of this bill is on K through 8.
And the other, this is Dan again, thanks. Chairs of the committee, Representative Holvey. The other piece about focusing this limit on retesting in K through 8 is that in kindergarten through 8th grade, the state of Oregon already provides free of charge easy CBM, which is an assessment that teachers can provide their students that aligns with the statewide standardized tests and can give teachers real-time information on whether their students are prepared to demonstrate proficiency on the statewide standardized test. We don't have a similar free tool already available to 9th through 12th grade educators. And so where there are schools that are using OAKS as a interim assessment, so they'll give the kids a test and that will give them give the teachers information on whether the students need additional instruction in a certain area. Some high schools were saying, you know, this is the only tool we have right now. If we want another tool, we have to go out and purchase it on the market. Whereas K through 8, they have another tool that they can be using free of charge already provided by the state of Oregon. We don't think, I think the OAKS test isn't fully designed to be used. It's not the most effective tool for getting that interim or formative information. It is the only free tool available to all Oregon high school teachers right now.
And
Does that answer your question?
Sorry, I'll follow up, I don't know if it's really that big of a deal, but it just seems the bill just says that, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade, and who has met or exceeded the state standards on a test is excused from being required to retake the test. I'm just wondering if somebody from ninth through 12th has met or exceeded the state standards on a test, why couldn't they be excused from being required to retake the test?
Could I comment?
Yeah,
She's answering the question that I was going to ask, and that is, and let me just outline the issue. There's two issues when you're doing testing. One is, do you meet the state standard? The other is, can you use an instrument as a way of assessing what the student has left to learn or what areas the student may be stronger in and weaker in? I agree that the tests we're talking about are not ones that are particularly good at the second thing, but if that's the only thing you've got, you might use it as you called it, an interim. I would call it an assessment tool rather than a criterion-based tool. And that was my question, because this bill basically says once you've met the state criteria, you're done. When, of course, there may very well be reasons to keep testing somebody, whether they've met the state criteria or not, for the purpose of determining what the student's strengths and weaknesses are, for the purpose of determining what kind of instruction you might give for the balance of the time you have in the year or in the high school. I thought your answer was a perfectly useful answer, because I think what you said was, we have an instrument that allows you to do the assessment piece for eighth grade and below, separate from the test that we're talking about in this law, in this bill. We don't have one that's free, at least, for grades 9 through 12, and teachers may need that ability to use the test that we think of as a criterion-based test, but which also might actually give us information to help the student learn the material that the student needs to learn. Have I got that more or less?
You've got it. Okay. So, Representative Holvey, Representative Barnhart, chairs. if I could just give an example, let's say, and other members of the committee, let's just say a 10th grade student takes the 10th grade math Oaks test, and they receive a passing score. But when the teacher is looking at the areas within the math test, algebraic, reasoning, computation, geometry, they notice that a student may be particularly low in, let's say, geometry. They may want to provide some instruction to that student over the course of the year, or maybe that student is taking geometry in their 11th grade year. They might want to come back and retest that student as a way to see whether that student has become proficient in that sub-skill over the course of that instructional year. In elementary school and middle school, we have another tool available for students to do that. In high school, we do not. Not one that's free.
Co-chairs, and co-chairs and committee members, I wanted to take this opportunity to let you know that when in the Senate side, we had Dr. Yang Zhao from the University of Oregon. He's a professor of global education, come and testify on that sort of big picture about standardized testing. And I encourage you to, for those of you especially who like the big picture, to look at his website, Dr. Yang. It's Zhao, Yang Zhao, and he gave a great presentation about really what test scores mean and how we tend to measure success too much by test scores. And one of his quotes I took from my notes is that America's really good at killing creativity. And this is somebody who, you know, he grew up in China and he came over here and did higher education here and now runs this, he's a professor of global education at the University of Oregon. And he talked about really how it's so important to find the strengths of our children. And we don't always do that by standardized tests. His example of one of the best things that we do for kids is things like a school talent show. where we let them find their own passion, take leadership and go up on a stage and present whatever it is that they do and they're proud of, and how that means so much in terms of developing a child's confidence and creativity and finding their passion, and that kind of thing means so much. But we spend so much time on standardized testing that sometimes schools don't do those things that are really developing the whole child. So I just wanted to give a little plug for his presentation because it was really compelling. Thank you.
Senator Freeman?
Thank you, Chair Hunt. I couldn't let this go without saying it just seems sort of interesting that we've got to pass a law that directs the State Board of Education to adopt guidelines for best practices. I'd be kind of hoping they would be doing that every day. But, I understand sometimes I need a nudge in the right direction, but I'm supportive of the bill. It's just one more of those things where you'd hope that people would be out doing the right thing without having to pass more laws to tell them to do it.
Co-chairs and committee members, I can't say I disagree, but we think it's important to have this in statute to emphasize the importance of it and to make sure that there's consistency across the state and across the districts.
Further questions? Thank you both. Appreciate you bringing this forward.
Thank you.
A little disappointed that one of you did not bring your daughter today, but we'll come back.
Suzanne, one of my two daughters is really cute.
Anyone else want to testify on Senate Bill 801? I would close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 801. Co-Chair Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 801 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 801 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Amy, please call the roll.
Representative Winger?
Yes.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Dierich?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Mr.
Olson?
Aye.
Chair.
Aye. Motion carries. And we would close the work session on Senate Bill 801. We are...
Carry.
Oh, who would like to carry it?
Comp. Have Comp do it.
Comp?
Yeah, okay.
She's on the bill.
Representative Comp. Victoria, can you follow up with her?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Thanks. we are scheduled for... 2:30 tomorrow. Do we have anything
tomorrow
on our agenda at this point?
Not so far.
Okay, not so far. So stay tuned, colleagues. Something may or may not pop on our agenda. Just leave it as is. Well, 2:30, we're adjourned.
The committee definitely needs to go.